Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we've so much to be thankful for today in America. We thank you today for those that have represented their country well, men and women alike. It may have been many years ago, but it may have been just recently. We thank you today for our veterans. We thank you for the United States of America. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us in America and protecting us. And even though lives have been lost, and we remember that every year at Memorial Day too, we remember the sacrifice that you gave of your Son. We remember the sacrifice of men and women. And so, Father God, my heart is full today, full of joy and full of gratitude. My heart is full today knowing how you love us and how you gave your Son to die for us so that we wouldn't have to continue in sin and die in sin and never be part of heaven. And so I thank you today, Heavenly Father, for what you're already doing in our midst and in churches everywhere in this nation. I thank you for what you're doing all over the globe. Thank you for praying people. We do pray for those on our prayer list. There are many names. We do lift them up to you. We do pray for our veterans that are still in harm's way. They're still in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We do pray for those that have come home wounded, having left a part of themselves on the foreign soil. And we say, Heavenly Father, thank you and intervene in each and every one of their lives. Intervene in our lives. Help us to be mindful and grateful. Thank you for every person here today, Father. Thank you for people that will gather in churches all over our region, all over this nation. I just pray that your Spirit would have a work and do a work and your will would be done. And I do pray for those that won't make it. They're in jail, they're in hospitals, they're in care centers, or they'll just choose not to today. We pray for them too. Please watch over them. Please help them to know you love them. You sent your Son to die for them, and you want them to respond to the invitation of Christ by faith in Jesus Christ. And so guide us as we continue to worship this morning, I pray. And I just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts as we have come to worship you. I pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to mention to you, I'm so thankful for your prayers, and thank you for praying for all those names on the prayer focus. Next week is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so I'll give you a chance to say what you're thankful for again. But Larry Hullab just wanted to express thanks for your prayers for him. He just come through surgery, as have many on that prayer focus, and so thank you for praying, brothers and sisters, for those people on the prayer focus and for our nation. If you've got your Bible, we're going to jump right to Matthew. It's time to look at another parable. I know that we haven't looked at any parables for a little while, but I just wasn't quite done going over the parables. And so even though we've had a couple of detours, I want to take a few minutes to look at this parable. It's called the parable of the two sons. And most of you will remember, because you've been with us for the last couple of months as we have looked at parables, but a parable is a story with an earthly flavor, an earthly context with a spiritual meaning. And as Jesus said in that very first parable that I shared with us way back when, a parable is a story to enlighten the believers and confound the unbeliever. And so I'm going to invite us to turn to Matthew 21. We're going to look at the parable of the two sons. The first thing you might think of, well, are we talking about the prodigal? No, we're not talking about the prodigal. We're talking about a very short parable, 5 verses. It's a parable of the two sons. And so that comes from Matthew 21, beginning at verse 28 through 32. But before, as you're turning there, and before I read that, let me set the stage for us for this parable just a little bit. Do you remember the story? Do you remember the time in Matthew 16 when Jesus said, I'm going to die. It's not going to be long, and I'm going to offer up my life. And Peter took him aside, the Bible says, and he began to rebuke him, as it were, and say, this shall not happen. Do you remember that story? I think most of you do. Peter was not willing that he would just stand by and watch as Jesus went to the cross to die. And do you remember what Peter said to him, or Jesus said to Peter, when he said, this won't happen, this can't happen. He said, Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Remember that? Pretty harsh words, but that's what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God. And the very next verse, and I'm setting the stage for a parable, so bear with me. The very next verse in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, If anybody really desires to come after me, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. That's what he told Peter and the apostles that day when Peter said, this can't happen, Lord. You cannot die. You are the Messiah. And Jesus reminded him and all those that were around him that day and us today and people everywhere, if you really are going to follow Christ, you've got to get your own agenda, Peter and disciples and Jim and everybody else. You've got to get your own agenda out of the way and follow me wholeheartedly. And so I start with that verse for two reasons, to set the stage for this parable and to remind us, followers of Christ, when we have decided, or we're still deciding, or we're still working on that decision to follow Jesus, Jim has got to get self off the throne of Jim's life. And people of God and people that are not of God yet have to get self out of the way. Our agenda has to be set aside. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and be willing to follow Him. Not just say I'm a Christian, but follow Jesus. That's what He told the disciples that day. That brings us to the parable in Matthew 21:28-32. And Jesus said to them, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first one. He said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And the son answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, apparently, he thought about it. As the prodigal story says in Luke 15, perhaps it was like that. He came to his senses. And Jesus said, son number one, he thought about it. And he regretted saying no. And he went in to the vineyard. Then he came to the second son. And he said, likewise, go into the vineyard and work today. And the second son answered. He answered and said, I go, sir. But he never went. Which of the two, Jesus asked, did the will of his father? They answered and said to him, well, the first one. The first one did the will of his father. And Jesus answered them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you do. For John, he's talking about the Baptist, for John came to you in the way of righteousness and you didn't believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw that, you did not afterward relent and believe him. And you can say, yeah, but Jim, he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Jewish folks of that day. And he was speaking to the religious of that day. He was speaking to the Pharisees. He was talking to the religious elite. But I believe it's more than that. I believe he's talking to the church today. I really do. I believe he's talking to us today, brothers and sisters. And let me just say, the church is not a denomination. The church is not a building. The church is people following Christ. regardless of denomination, regardless of age, regardless of color or social status, the church are people who have come to realize, I am a sinner and I need a Savior and I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what the church is. And He is speaking to the church here today, I believe. When He says these words, He was speaking to the Pharisees, of course, but He's speaking to us today too, I believe. In the first century, when you read through Acts, you will see they were first called Christians in Antioch. You remember that? Some of you read that. Some of you read that lately. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Christian was a derogatory term for those followers of Jesus. But Christian meant they had denied themselves and they had taken up their cross and they were willing to follow Him no matter what He asked of them. And the 21st century doesn't mean that no more. (coughs) 70% of Americans say, I'm a Christian. And yet the Pew Research and the Barna Research that have called thousands and asked many questions would say less than 15% are evangelical followers of Jesus. I'm not trying to judge anyone. I'm trying to bring to us awareness like Jesus was doing to the Pharisees that day. He said to the Pharisees, you're missing it. You are the son that said, I'm your man. I'll go. And never get to follow, never deny themselves, and never follow Christ. I'm not here to judge anybody. That's not my role. I am here to bring awareness to us what Jesus said to His people of that day. He said, wake up, people. Open your eyes. You're missing the Messiah. Two sons. Two sets of beliefs. The first one says, nah, pops, I ain't going. But later on came to his senses and went into the vineyard. Later on came to his senses and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Even though they may have been tax collectors and harlots, Jesus said, I'll take you. That's what the grace of God is all about. I'll take you. He said, no, they said first, no, I ain't going. But later on, they came to their senses and they went into the vineyard. That's son number one. And son number two, the Jewish people, more specifically the Pharisees that day, I'm your man. I've been keeping the Mosaic law. I'm in church almost every week. I'm in the synagogue. I'm your man. And never follow Jesus. That's the parable of the two sons. The first one said, I will not go. But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. The second son said, I go, sir. But he never went. Way too often, people of God, way too often, I fear people today, we say, and I've been there. I'm a Christian too. I'll go into the vineyard and never follow Jesus. Never deny yourself. Never are willing to take up our cross. We want it our way. We want self on the throne. We want to follow our desires and our agenda and our lusts and never go in to the vineyard. I'm your man, Jesus. I'm your woman. And never go in to the vineyard. I fear that's happening with millions today. I'm not judging. I'm just looking at around us. I'm reading all kinds of stuff. And I'm listening. And I'm seeing exactly what Jesus said to the Pharisees that day played out all over again. Come into the vineyard. And some groups are saying, no, I don't have any time for Jesus. And yet someplace along the line they get right with Him and they follow Him. And yet perhaps the religious today are not going in and following Jesus. Jesus said, in essence, to these religious types, just because you call yourself a Pharisee, just because you call yourself a descendant of Abraham, or in the 21st century, just because you call yourself a Christian, means nothing if we don't follow Jesus. That's what he was telling the Pharisees that day. You must deny yourself and follow Jesus. Not your religious ways, but the Son of God. I assuredly, he says, after asking the question, which of the two did the will of his father? They answered, the first one did. Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you do. Remember those parables we've been seeing in the last weeks when he said over and over at the end of them, and the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Here's another example of it. What's happening today in 21st century America and beyond in the church goes completely against the will of the Father. I don't have to elaborate on that. I don't have time. But so much of what's happening today, even in the churches of America, goes completely against the will of the Father. And there's so much of life going on, even in the life of us, the Christian, that is not even close to the will of the Father. Why do I speak about the church today? Because Jesus spoke to the Pharisees that day. One more parable, one more opportunity to come to their senses and get right with Jesus. One more chance to open their eyes to Christ, the Son of God. That's why I speak to us in the church today. Because he spoke to the religious people of that day and said, you're not coming into the kingdom. You're saying you're all that, and you're not following Christ. Let me close with Revelation 3, 1 and 2, where Jesus spoke to John and said, write this letter to the church at Sardis and remind them of some things. I think it goes along well with what I'm trying to convey from this parable. In Revelation 3, verse 1, Jesus told John, write to the church at Sardis. This is the church at Sardis. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know who you are. I really do. I know your works. You see God saying to us, I know your heart in 21st century America and beyond. I know who you really are. I know that you even got a name in the church house that you're alive, but you're dead. That's what he told the church at Sardis. You've got a reputation that you got some things going on. You got a name that you're actually alive, but you're really dead. And then he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are just about to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. And he's not talking about working your way to heaven. Not talking about that. He is talking about denying themselves to follow Christ. That's the works he's talking about. You claim the name of Christ, then follow Jesus. I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. And I believe that's the message that God would tell us today in the 21st century. These things, all these three scriptures, all put together. Peter, get your own agenda out of the way. The will of the Father is that I die on the cross for you. Our fleshly tendencies, as Peter was, he was noble in his thought. I don't want to see you die. But he said to Peter, in essence, get your own agenda out of the way, Jim, Peter, and all the rest. And he said to the Pharisees that day, again, Your heritage in Abraham is not going to get it done. Your parents in church is not going to get it done. Until we deny ourselves and follow Christ, receive Christ by faith, experience the grace of God, and be born again. Until that time, this tax collectors and harlots are way ahead of you in the kingdom of God. And then throw in that message to the church at Sardis. Oh, church. Oh, people of God that claim the name of Christ. You got a reputation, you're alive, but you're not alive. Repent, strengthen what remains, and get right with God. And so let me close with two possibilities from this parable, then we'll sing. Don't be the one that says, I am a Christian and do nothing about the will of the Father. Because saying I'm a Christian and living for ourselves in our own agenda, in our own sin, in our own lust, is not the will of the Father. Don't be like the group that said, I'm your man, I'm your woman, and never go into the vineyard. While there is still time, be like son number one. Might have regretted it for a while. Might have had questions about following Christ. But came to our senses and decided, I am going to go into the vineyard. I am going to follow Jesus. Regardless of what my family says, we saw about persecution last week. Regardless of what the government says. Regardless of what my neighbor or my boss says, I'm going to follow Jesus. And let me say, friends, we could elaborate further on stories out of Revelation. God does not accept and do lukewarm. He did not accept and do Pharisees just because they wore the phylacteries and the long flowing robes. Just because their heritage had a heritage from Abraham. They needed to be born again in their spirit. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They needed to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus if they were ever going to be part of the will of the Father. And as Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21 and 22, when he said in that picture of that day, when he said to the people, there will come a day when you say, yes, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and we did that. And he says, depart from me because I never knew you. Why? Because they never did the will of the Father. They never denied themselves, got right with Jesus to follow him. They just kept denied. They just kept following themselves. Don't be like the Pharisees. I'm not here to scold anybody. This speaks to Jim first. I am here as Jesus was there to the disciples that day and to the Pharisees of the day. Don't put your trust in your robes. Don't put your trust in you're a child of Abraham. Get right and follow Jesus by faith in Christ. Receive him as Lord. Repent of sin. That means turn away from the old Jim. Turn away from the old person that you were and follow Jesus. That's what I'm here today to tell us. Not to chasten, not to rebuke, but to awaken us. Don't be like the second son that thinks I got it all figured out, but have never denied herself and never really followed Christ. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. If you're here today, friends, and the Lord is speaking to your heart, and it seems like, feels like, and you're almost assured you're in category two, then get right with God today. Repent of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your own and follow Jesus. If you need help with that, Richard and I will pray with you. If you want to pray here at the altar, pray here at the altar. If you want to pray right where you're at, then do it. Get right with God through faith in Christ today. Eternity is a long time. And it depends on what you do with Jesus.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, that we have this opportunity to come to you, Father. No matter if we did it right away or we do it after we have a second thought, Lord, I just pray that we would come to you this morning. Lord, that we would fall on our knees, Lord, and we would be thankful for a God who is open to us, Father, to wipe away our sin and our tears and our hurts, Father. Lord, we thank you for your love, and we pray that you would be with us this week as we go, Father. Lord, strengthen us to be your servants. Lord, to love you with all our hearts and to love those around us. Be with us, Father. Protect us, guide us. In your name, amen.